Once there was a civilization, much like ours, but with a greater intelligence, greater powers, and a greater capacity for good.
Even though you've been raised as a human being, you are not one of them.
Contingency planning has to be done in 1 month. December 31st, 2009. They've been at this for 30 years, since 1979, getting ready for the horrendous, violent earth changes that are coming. It's only been it's not quite 2 years that I started to even comprehend the effects of a coronal mass ejection. As I was scratching my head for years, I thought, why in the world is the federal government spending all this money for these very expensive underground complexes? When you start building underground, ladies and gentlemen, you basically triple or quadruple the price of your construction, maybe more. I haven't seen the numbers, but it's a massive increase in cost per square foot. That's what they've been doing for 30 years now, always kind of lingering in the background. Earth changes, violent, abrupt climate change. Dramatic increases in volcanism, dramatic increases in seismic activity, and eventually, violently, rapidly rising ocean levels. Eventually. No, it will not happen January 1st, 2010. This will be a matter of months, probably a couple of years, as things grow increasingly worse with these matters. You'll know what to look for. You'll see these things happening. When it comes to something that's important, you need to do some homework. Put these Google searches in there to find the government press releases about what they're doing, moving critical infrastructure away from these oceans and into the middle of the country. Critical infrastructure, especially the intelligence agencies, military, the libraries for the EPA, the library for the Vatican being moved as we speak. All these things are right there on my DVD, and you can find the official press releases announcing it. People love credentials. How about supervising astronomer of the United States Naval Observatory, Dr. Robert Harrington, being interviewed in his office in Washington, D.C. at the United States Naval Observatory? Maybe the most important 10 minutes of video you ever see in your life. If you're going to draw a paycheck for looking at stars, that's about as serious credentials as a human being on this planet could ever hope to have. Supervising astronomer of the United States Naval Observatory. And when he granted this interview, that's exactly what he was, talking about the 10th planet. Talking about the 10th planet as a matter of scientific fact, not scientific speculation, giving its size, its density, and its orbit. Time is short. I don't have a specific date. We have a time frame. Basically, from now forward.
Between now and 2013, the Earth will experience horrific cataclysms and at an ever-increasing pace. They will be the result of a large object, generically referred to as Planet X, and it will soon pass through the core of our solar system. This object was first observed in 1983 by NASA's Infrared Astronomical Satellite, more commonly known as IRAS, and was reported in the September 10, 1984 edition of U.S. News and World Report. Many times the size of Earth, it is very large and dark and dusty, and will not be visible to the naked eye for a few years. When it does, it will appear in the sky like a smaller second sun before it leaves the core of our system. While man-made pollution does aggravate global warming, the inconvenient omission is really dealing with the interaction between the Sun and Planet X. You see, it is the Sun that is the principal engine of global warming.
Okay, folks, you're listening to Light of Day on Orion with your host, Sheldon Day, live Saturday night, October 23rd, 2010. Welcome back to the Light of Day, the second hour. Well, back to what I was reading on this Bill Cooper write-up here before we get into the Bill Cooper sound bites. Let's see. Bill Cooper on the fake extraterrestrial threat from space. He sums it up quite well, folks, as to what the powers-to-be have planned for the future. Let's see. Fear is instilled through the incidental use of terror inspired by the cattle and animal mutilation byproducts of the government radiation monitoring projects and the so-called alien abduction scenario induced by state-of-the-art and extremely sophisticated mind control operations. To make interstellar travel believable, NASA was created, and the Apollo space program foisted the idea that man could travel to and walk upon the moon. Well, according to my interjection here, I had Jay Widener on my show. He also mentioned the sole purpose for NASA's existence is to prove prove evidence of a past cyclical catastrophe. I'm sure that was another reason that they were created. Every Apollo moon mission was carefully rehearsed and then filmed in large sound stages at the Atomic Energy Commission's top secret test site in the Nevada desert and at a secured and guarded sound stage at the Walt Disney Studios, within which was a huge scale mock-up of the moon. All names, missions, landing sites, and events in the Apollo space program echoed the occult metaphors, rituals, and symbology of the Illuminati's secret religion. The most transparent was the fake explosion on Apollo 13, which was a metaphor for the initiation ceremony involving the death, in other words, explosion, placement in the coffin, period of uncertainty of their survival, communion with the spiritual world, and the imparting of esoteric knowledge to the candidate. And it goes on and on. That number 13 on the Apollo 13 moon flight is the number of death and rebirth, death and reincarnation, sacrifice, the phoenix, the Christ, and the transition from the old to the new. Exploration of the moon stopped because it was impossible to continue the hoax without being ultimately discovered. And they ran out of pre-filmed episodes. By the way, folks, I've also interviewed Bart Sabrell, who's been on my show at least one or two times, and you can find that on my archives subpage. He's one of the biggest supporters out there that the Apollo moon missions were totally faked. No man has ever ascended higher than 300 miles, if that high, above the Earth's surface. No man has ever orbited, landed on, or walked upon the moon in any publicly known space program. Keep in mind, listen to what he's saying, in any publicly known space program. If man has ever truly been to the moon, it has been done in secret and with a fair different technology. The tremendous radiation encountered in the Van Allen belt, the solar radiation, cosmic radiation, temperature control, and many other problems connected with space travel prevent living organisms leaving our atmosphere with our known level of technology. Any intelligent high school student with a basic physics book can prove NASA faked the Apollo moon landings. The head of NASA at the time of the Apollo space program is now the grand commander of the Council of the 33rd Degree of the Ancient and Accepted Scottish Rite of Freemasonry of the Southern Jurisdiction. All of the first astronauts were Freemasons. There is a photograph in the House of the Temple in Washington, D.C. of Neil Armstrong on the moon's surface in his spacesuit holding his Masonic apron in front of his groin. We'll be back, folks. Stay tuned. Hello, folks. Welcome back to the Light of Day and Orion with your host, Sheldon Day. It's live Saturday night, October 23rd, 2010, broadcasting live from the Sonora Desert out just outside Tucson, Arizona. Well, I've done 30 shows now in Orion. The reason I'm reading this Bill Cooper write-up on the fake extraterrestrial threat from space is because it does tie right in with what the elites are about ready to launch because Planet X is coming in. I'm actually going to read a paragraph off my October 5th essay entitled The Status Quo of the Passage of the Death Star. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but just a part that pertains to how this Bill Cooper information connects with the staged UFO / ET event that they're ready to foist upon the masses. So this is from my thesis. This staged alien invasion or UFO flyover false flag terror agenda / deception may begin shortly before and or during these earth changes in order to calm down the masses and provide them with a sense of comfort and reassurance that everything's going to be okay. It'll be alleged that these beings are very much like us and here to save us and protect us when in fact no real physical extraterrestrials will be here. And they're ramping this up on this new TV show on, it's either NBC or MSNBC called The Event. You know, on this new TV show, they show these aliens that have been held in captivity up in Alaska for so many years and that their DNA is only like 1% away from ours. So they're really ramping this up, folks. One of the reasons given that these beings are here to protect us would be to save us from environmental disaster or from the detonation of nuclear weapons, when in fact, Planet X is the real culprit of climate change. The beings we see, if any, will be genetic constructs that the military black ops boys have created in their secret underground biogenetic research laboratories at places like Dulce, New Mexico. Those so-called alien abductees and my labs and contactees with their implanted microchips will be used by the elites for purposes still unbeknownst to me yet. In my opinion, those contactees who think a mass evacuation will occur by starships will be in for a major surprise when they discover that the ships they're in are actually high-tech black ops anti-gravity craft like Lockheed TR-3B Triangles, built by the terrestrial-based military-industrial complex. These contactees will be ushered away to work for the elites when they think they're being spirited away to some off-world location to be saved from the cataclysms. This deception may occur at the August 2012 Olympics in the United Kingdom, at least according to radio talk show host Ronnie McMullen and his highly credible insider sources. Okay, well, folks, back to the Bill Cooper write-up now. There is a photograph in the house of the temple in Washington, D.C. of Neil Armstrong on the moon's surface, supposedly, in his spacesuit holding his Masonic apron in front of his groin. The effect upon the people of the world was that if we could go to the moon, other creatures from other worlds could travel to our Earth. The escalation of the artificial alien threat scenario since that time is obvious and transparent. A result of the Genome Project at Los Alamos Laboratory, the recent success of cloning and biochemistry will produce laboratory-created creatures that will ultimately be presented to the people of the world as extraterrestrial in origin. The only reason an extraterrestrial has not been presented to humanity is that they have not succeeded in making one that is believable. For an in-depth explanation of this artificial alien threat scenario, read the report from Iron Mountain, The Probability and Possibility of Permanent Peace. Now, you know, he mentions here about this genome project at Los Alamos National Laboratory. Well, guess what, folks? There's an underground tunnel that connects Los Alamos up to the three underground facilities in Dulce, New Mexico, which I just mentioned to you, I think I did anyway, that those facilities in Dulce, New Mexico are actually biological laboratories. This may be, you know, one of the places that they're trying to create this invented extraterrestrial from. I listen to Dr. Carly's shows a lot, and she mentioned there's something like 1,200, 1,300, or 1,400 level 3 biowarfare laboratories scattered across the country. You know, maybe this is one of the things that they're trying to conjure up is how they can present a real, what they think is a real extraterrestrial to the public. I know we had that creature, that strange looking creature that washed up on the shore in Montauk Beach in Long Island about a year or two ago. That had gotten there from the Plum Island Animal Research Lab on Plum Island. Now they're moving the Plum Island facility out to the middle of our country in Manhattan, Kansas, and John Moore has been talking about that for 2 or 3 years now. Well, anyway, we're going to, well, let me check how much time we have until the break here. Well, I'm not going to start the Bill Cooper bites until we come out of the break, because we'll be going in the break here in about maybe 2 minutes. But anyway, this is really food food for thought, folks, because they are really ramping up this extraterrestrial scare tactic. And there's sure been a lot of talk about UFO sightings lately. There was a big sighting over New York City about, oh, I don't know, a week or week and a half ago. And then there just had a sighting over El Paso, Texas. You know, so they're really ramping this stuff up for some reason. And I really go along with what Bill Cooper says. You know, I actually had been a fool myself there for maybe 15 years that, you know, this UFO stuff was real, but I finally changed my mind that the vast majority of it, at minimum, is a psychological warfare operation on the public, and that's what I really believe now. I actually changed my mind on all this stuff from about 3 years ago. I think this fake extraterrestrial threat is really connected to the passage of this incoming T or L class series brown dwarf star, also known as Planet X. It goes by many names. It's called Nibiru, Wormwood, the Nemesis, the Death Star, the Destroyer. It has many names, but it comes by Earth every 3,000 to 4,200 years and causes major Earth changes as it goes by. You know, I've only been studying this stuff since maybe the fall of last year, but boy, I got to tell you, I've sure learned a lot already in a 1 year period here on Planet X. And I believe this is the most highly classified matter being dealt with by major governments at this time. And keep in mind, global warming, so-called what they're now calling climate change, is actually a cover story for this incoming brown dwarf star, which is actually causing real climate change here. It's not man-made carbon dioxide emissions, because we have climate change happening throughout the solar system, folks. We'll be back. You're listening to The Light of Dan Orion. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live on Orion, Saturday night, October 23rd, 2010. We're broadcasting from the Sonora Desert, just outside Tucson, Arizona. Well, looking on spaceweather.com here, they have a geomagnetic storm warning posted. NOAA forecasters estimate a 40% chance of severe geomagnetic storms around the poles on October 25th, which would be on Monday. The forecast is prompted by a possible double whammy, which is both a solar wind stream and a coronal mass ejection could hit Earth's magnetic field on Monday. High latitude sky watchers should be alert for auroras. And I've been looking at the solar wind speed today, and you know it normally hovers right around 400 kilometers a second. Right now it's 610 kilometers a second. The 24-hour maximum, the 24-hour average for X-ray solar flares has been a B as in Bravo, a B4. We got three sunspots showing on the sun right now. Sunspot group 1117 continues to increase in spot count and magnetic complexity. No big flares yet, however. That's just an update on what's going on with the sun right now. I'm suspecting that we're going to start seeing violent solar storms around maybe July of next year, if my theory proves correct. We don't have any potentially, looking at the near-Earth asteroids here, everything looks okay there. We haven't had a big one since that October 12th event, that one that came only one-tenth of a lunar distance away from Earth. John DiNardo sent me an email. I'm going to get to them Bill Cooper sound bites here to wrap up the show, so just hang in there, folks. I wanted to mention John DiNardo actually sent me a water main break clock that you can view. I can't look at it right now because I got something covering my desktop that prohibits me from getting to where I need to go on my desktop. But he sent me a clock, and it shows all the water main breaks that are going on right now. We're having 700 a day in the United States and Canada. That much I clearly remember. 700 a day, folks. Like I said, me and John DiNardo, we do believe that Planet X is starting to cause, you know, small earthquakes in the Earth, which are causing these water main breaks to happen, and then you get sinkholes from that, and then we've had all these sinkholes appearing everywhere. So Planet X is kind of clever in what it does to Earth, but our Creator did give us all the evidence we need that that this thing is coming our way. It's just a matter of whether you're going to believe it or not, I guess. Looking at the earthquakes, there continues to be a swarm in the Guy, Arkansas area. There were 6 quakes there on the 21st, which would have been Thursday. There were 9 there yesterday. And then there only shows 1 today in New Madrid, Missouri. So we didn't have any in Guy, Arkansas today, but there had that swarm does continue around Guy. The biggest quake in the Guy, Arkansas area since the 19th would have been a 3.8. And that's the scale by which I'm going by. So a 3.8 has been the biggest quake in Arkansas since the 19th now. Well, I suppose we're going to get right into these Bill Cooper sound bites. I'm hoping Jessica Cooper and Sally Phillips is out there tuned into the show tonight. I did send them an email, so we're going to get into that. I got to find out what track I have that on. I actually got three MP3 files I want to play here of Bill Cooper on the staged alien threat scenario. All right, track 4. So I got 3 tracks I'm going to play here. So please enjoy, folks.
Many, many years ago, back in 1972, I was sitting at my desk about 4:30 in the morning at the headquarters of the Commander-in-Chief of the United States Pacific Fleet, arranging the information that had come in over the last 24 hours into a logical order so that we could prepare a briefing for the Admiral and his staff, which would take place later that morning. Among the papers I found on my desk was a document entitled Operation Majority, and it was not the entire paperwork involving this operation, but was merely a synopsis of the operation and projects contained under it. One of these projects was called Project Red Light. The purpose, according to this document, was to back engineer captured extraterrestrial technology for adaptation into the United States space program. Now, I have since come to believe that the extraterrestrial portion of all of this is nonsense, but that the technology is real, is real. I believe that many of us were shown these documents over the years so that later we would talk about it. I mean, how can you keep the existence of extraterrestrials, if they were real, a secret? And how could anyone keep quiet knowing that they had seen documentation, official government documents labeled top secret, that expressed that these extraterrestrials were real and had visited this earth? I wanted to know just how true all of this was, and I began a program of research to find out if extraterrestrials were real. The first thing I did was collect every bit of documentation that I could find, both from the Freedom of Information Act, from the research of others, from books that had been printed on the subject of UFOs, and, of course, through my network of friends in the intelligence community. What I discovered was amazing. What I discovered, ladies and gentlemen, is that there has been a plan in existence since about 1917, and probably before that, to create an artificial extraterrestrial threat to this earth in order to create a one-world totalitarian socialist government. One of the first documents that I found in my search was this one, the Imperial Japanese Mission 1917, a record of the reception throughout the United States of the special mission headed by Viscount Ishii. And when the Imperial Japanese Mission was in New York City, they had a dinner, and some pretty famous people spoke at this dinner. One of them was John Dewey. John Dewey is the father of our failing, disastrous public education system. Here's what he said. Listen very carefully. John Dewey, professor of philosophy in Columbia University, who was the next speaker, was listened to with great intentness. He said, quote, "Someone remarked that the best way to unite all the nations on this globe would be an attack from some other planet. In the face of such an alien enemy, people would respond with a sense of their unity of interest and purpose." Unquote. Now, bear in mind, folks, that's 1917. One of the next documents that I found, and I found quite a few, but one that's pretty important, is called the Report from Iron Mountain, the Probability and Desirability of Permanent Peace. Now, I encourage you to find this book, wherever you can find it. I don't know where you can get it, but find it. Page 66. Credibility, in fact, lies at the heart of the problem of developing a...
Okay, folks, we're going to be coming into a break here. I'm just waiting for the break to kick in. I'm just going to end the show playing these Bill Cooper sound bites. I still have two separate MP3 files after this one to play. Just for a heads up, you won't hear me come back on, because when we come out of this next break, I'm just going to continue with the Bill Cooper sound bite. So I want to try to get it all squeezed in here. Anyway, you've been listening to The Light of Day. We'll be back in a few. Stay tuned.
They say she died one winter, when there came a killing frost, and the pony she named Wildfire busted down its stall. In a blizzard he was lost.
Page 66. credibility, in fact, lies at the heart of the problem of developing a political substitute for war. This is where the space race proposals, in many ways so well suited as economic substitutes for war, fall short. The most ambitious and unrealistic space project cannot of itself generate a believable external menace. It has been hotly argued that such a menace would offer the last best hope of peace, etc., by uniting mankind against the danger of destruction by creatures from other planets or from outer space. Experiments have been proposed to test the credibility of an out-of-our-world invasion threat. And it continues on another page. Nevertheless, an effective political substitute for war would require alternate enemies, some of which might seem equally far-fetched in the context of the current war system. It may be, for instance, that gross pollution of the environment can eventually replace the possibility of mass destruction by nuclear weapons as the principal substitute for war. Are you beginning to get the message, folks? Poisoning of the air and of the principal sources of food and water supply is already well advanced, and at first glance would seem promising in this respect. It constitutes a threat that can be dealt with only through social organization and political power. But from present indications, it will be a generation to a generation and a half before environmental pollution, however severe, will be sufficiently menacing on a global scale to offer a possible basis for a solution. However unlikely some of the possible alternate enemies we have mentioned may seem, we must emphasize that one must be found of credible quality and magnitude if a transition to peace is ever to come about without social disintegration. It is more probable, in our judgment, that such a threat will have to be invented rather than developed from unknown conditions. Ladies and gentlemen, they have created so many alternate enemies in order to bring about their one-world totalitarian socialist state that we don't know which enemy to believe is real or is false, or whether to just toss them all out on their ears. And I think that that is probably going to be the best solution. Disarmament is no accident. All of these bills in Congress to take away our weapons, it's no accident. The intentional environmental pollution of our lakes, rivers, streams, oceans, forests, everything is no accident, as you just heard. These things were planned many, many years ago. All the bombardment of the public with movies about flying saucers in the 50s, right after the United Nations Treaty was signed and the UN Participation Act was pushed through Congress, and all of the incidents since that have convinced the majority of the American people that flying saucers are real and extraterrestrials exist, and that flying saucers are from an extraterrestrial origin. This is being promulgated in many ways by television commercials, in the movies, in the newspapers, by creating incidents either real or imagined. I believe, because of my research, because of the extensive documentation that I've found and that is in my book, that this whole scenario has been created to give us an artificial alien threat from outer space. During the Reagan administration, he made 6 speeches, specifically talked about a threat from outer space by some other species from some other planet.
In his September 21st, 1987 speech to the UN General Assembly, President Reagan himself did little to dispel the notion that this deadly misunderstanding brought human-alien cooperation to an end.
In our obsession with antagonisms of the moment, we often forget how much unites all the members of humanity. Perhaps we need some outside universal threat to make us recognize this common bond. I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world.
I couldn't help at one point in my discussions privately with General Secretary Gorbachev, I couldn't help but say to him, just think how easy if suddenly there was a threat to this world from some other species from another planet outside in the universe.
Why would the president repeat the same thing 6 times tagged on to the ends of speeches? By him, the speechwriters did not put that in the speech. Ronald Reagan added it himself. This was a powerful suggestion to implant into the minds of the people of the world that there really is a threat from some other species, from some other planet, to this Earth. Now, you people out there have been ignoring the UFO phenomenon for too long. It has all the earmarks of the most successful, most sophisticated mind control operation in the history of the world, and you are ignoring it. What better way to implement a plan to bring about a one-world government than to create the possibility in the minds of the people of the world that we are being threatened from some other species, from some other planet, and do it in a way that if anybody questions it or challenged it or wants to talk about it publicly, that they are ridiculed.
My kind is the kind that says, hey, this could be a scam. This could be leading us into world government, and we better be careful.
Also, the alien scam was one of the proposals outlined in the report from Iron Mountain. It was a report on the probability and possibility of permanent peace. And we found reference to it going all the way back to 1917, and I believe I talked about John Dewey's speech in New York in 1917. We believe that the Mercury Theater broadcast of War of the Worlds by Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater was a test of the hypothesis to see if the people would buy an alien invasion, and they did. Orson Welles is related to H.G. Wells, who wrote a book in 1939, I believe, called The New World Order, where he also proposed the same thing. So... See, I don't think it's a hoax, because I think that they're preparing the people for it. They've been telling us that nuclear weapons have been stolen from the Russian arsenal, that Korea's manufacturing atomic weapons, and Iraq has atomic weapons, and Iran has atomic weapons, and India has atomic weapons, and they're telling us that terrorists have penetrated the United States, and so they may have atomic weapons. Right, I got to see a lot of things when I was with Naval Intelligence that most people never dream of in their life, and that set me on the path. I don't think it was a slip-up at all. I think it was intentional. I think the remarks made by Reagan were intentional. Nothing accidental about it. They've been trying to rule the world for a long time. If we're not careful, they're going to do it. They're real. I know that at least some of the technology belongs to humans of at least three or four different nations, and whether or not extraterrestrials are real, I don't know. The universe is too big for me to even venture to get into the realm of guesswork or speculation, which I don't like to do anyway. The chances that if they were real, they could find this Earth amongst the billions of stars that exist out there is pretty slim to me, but not beyond the realm of possibility. Usually when you can spot a scripted scam.
Yep.
And I used to really think a lot of Linda Moulton Howe, because she seemed to be the only one who was really looking at it objectively. But after you listen to her for a long period of time, she's not really at all. In my investigation, I found that Moulton and Howe, both of those names are famous names in the halls of the Masonic temples. And so she has that background in her family. And the same with a lot of these people. Stanton T. Friedman, oh yeah, it's his job to perpetrate the alien threat thing. And after every one of his talks, he gives a little speech about how we all have to come together as one world to face this. And then he always says, who's going to speak for planet Earth? He is one of the main players. He says he's a nuclear physicist. But aside from his own resume, we can find no proof that he's ever been a nuclear physicist except what he writes on his resume. We know for the last 25 years he has not been a nuclear physicist. He has been a wandering UFO minstrel. The thing we have to be careful of is just because you saw this thing, and this just because you believe or actually did hear in your mind what you thought or what really may have been from this thing, does not make it extraterrestrial. The CIA has all the technology to be able to do every bit of that. Or could have been a very sophisticated hologram accompanied by an electronic mind control operation using microwaves and many other things that have been developed, that's documented, there's no doubt about it, it's scientific fact, it's been written about, it's come out in hearings in the in Congress. We have to be very careful what we believe when there is technology that exists that can make us believe whatever somebody wants us to believe. Go read your Bible.
When everybody's saying he's coming, he's not going to come. He's going to come like a thief in the night. Christians don't like to hear that, but it's true. Whoever comes is going to be a scam. But you're all going to believe it's Jesus because that's what you want to believe. Well, I don't think he's coming. He's not coming. I'll bet you I'll be right. I didn't say never. I don't know if he's ever coming or not. I don't even know if he ever lived. There's no proof that the man ever lived. Religion is something that you have to believe in by faith because there is no proof for it.
Good night, folks. See you next week.